Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Multitasking slightly because I have ended somebody's meeting to be able to start this one, and so I'm just letting Greg know to let whoever know. I'm sorry, but I trumpet. Get the gallery view. Welcome. Let's get some videos on for those of you who can. Love to see your beautiful faces. Hello. I know that some of you may not be in situations where you can, but if you can, let's see them. Even if you haven't got any makeup on, even if you're in your gym jams, we want to see you. Lovely. Let me open the chat channel up. Oof. Right, I've got a lot of things open on my screen. Let me just get a bit of control in there. Great chat. Lovely. Let's wait another couple of minutes for a few more women to join. Get yourself settled. Make sure you've got a cup of tea or water, notepad, and your questions. Oh, Nicola's bagging up chocolates. What's that for Christmas? We can still see. Can we see the chocolates? Are you happy to turn your video on and show us the chocolates just so we can all get jealous? Just pop in the chat channel if you can.
They're from Chocoholics. Chocoholics, I just had a delivery.
And so what who are you bagging them up for?
Customers.
Oh my
I sell
goodness.
them.
Next level customer service. I love it. I used to do that actually for my corporate clients. I would get, is it Hotel Chocolat? Is that the name of the
Yeah.
company? And I would I'd order, just a little box and get it sent to them and stuff. This has been a weird year. I haven't maybe I should still do it. I just haven't even got my head around to that point. So thank you for the reminder that yes, customers still need some treats. So, right, my lovelies. Well, lovely to connect with you. This is our penultimate wealth turnaround call. I think we have one more, don't we, on in 2 weeks' time. So, I'm here for you. What would you like to ask me? What would be supportive of you? How are you traveling? Let's start off with a how you're traveling check-in in the chat channel, shall we? Just a quick check-in, pop it into the chat channel. When it comes to all things B Wealth and the 10-week wealth turnaround, how are you doing? Let's have a win and, like a success, a win, celebrate yourself, and then what you're currently struggling with. Wins and successes, challenges, to keep it simple. Two bullets. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. Ha. I'm going to be fancy this time. And oh wait, no, I didn't want to hang on. What I want to do is go back. Keep typing. Don't worry about me. I'm just trying to be. Typing in, if you're just joining, typing in your check-in and type in what your successes are, one or two, like win success and what your challenges are. Okay. Okay, let me start checking. So Tamsin, you finally found the one of many members area. You mean all this time? You, oh my goodness. Bless you. You've been logging into the page for the free webinar. Ah, must have been thinking, what are they going on about? Never too late. Great. Now you're just basically gonna poof, fly off. That's wonderful. So let me just go back up. So, Amelia, you started your budget. Great. Nadine, not caught up yet, but got started on module one and did more work towards module two, module three this week. Wonderful. And we definitely have some accountability to check in on with you from the last time. So I'd love to hear how you went from your last commitments. Akila or Akela? I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Whichever.
Sorry, that's my cub name. The last time I used my account was when I was at camp. So let me put my actual human name in.
Yeah, please do, because I was going, this is my brain. It's like, that's a name I don't recognize. And I saw your face and I'm like, oh, there we go, Ali. I'm like, something's not computing, but my brain wasn't quick enough to okay, Ali, that's simpler. Lovely.
Your hair's
So
barely recognizable, but yeah.
oh, it's great. Your hair stands out. So your win is your jam jars and money's all organized. Hurrah! Yes. Struggle finding the motivation for the next steps. Okay, well, hopefully this will give you a little boost. Beverly, keeping up with the videos and learning, great. And doing small set tasks, but really struggling to find the time to do the major stuff I need to progress. Okay. So, Linda, you feel more confident around organizing your money. You've made a spreadsheet for your monthly budget and started to play on the stock market. Ooh, that's fun. Very small time. Yes, but all the same. Anne has got all accounts up to date till the end of October. Still need to check out my percentages. Feeling a lot more confident. Bravo. Wonderful. Frida, I finally had the big financial chat with my partner. We've agreed on what pots to share and opened up accounts for them. The challenge is it's still increasing my income and finding temp work. Okay, great. So you've made a decision to look for some temp work to help supplement the income in the meantime. Wonderful. Well done. Just for a period of time, right? So Joanna finally landed a permanent job. Woo! Celebrations. Wonderful. So you can budget accurately for next year. Oh, that must feel like such a relief, right? That regularity of income coming in. I mean, I've now been working for myself for quite some time, but there are moments where I have little fantasies of having a regular pay packet coming in every, like, know exactly how much is coming in every month. So well done, that's wonderful. So you can build the rest of your activities from an informed point of view. Bravo, wonderful. All right, so Nadine is saying, so my why, quest quote, done this, and this seemed to raise a limiting belief I hadn't really acknowledged. Well, let's see about that, because I'm not sure I fully understand what you mean there, my love.
I'm good.
Nicola, haven't even looked in the group, so haven't done anything. Thank you for being honest. Lubna got started and enjoying it. Great, well done, because I remember last time you were sharing how you hadn't, and so well done for getting cracking. And I'm looking this way, by the way, because that's where my chat is on the other screen. And not changing to Starling is off to New Zealand next year, so we'll find an ethical bank there. Brilliant, well done. So Nadine's also your budget planner already underway. Great. Now updated for October, November, and added the assets and debt worksheets. Lovely. Selwa is changing. You're changing your energy supplier. Fabulous. And Nicola's also had a chat with somebody from a debt charity. Good. Lovely. So lots of you making progress. Okay. And any progress is better than no progress. Maybe a couple of you still going, no progress. So let's see what we can do about that now. So if there's anyone, let's maybe start from that place. Let me stop this share because we don't need that now. I just put that on so I could put music on and pretend that I was all fancy and high tech. So who is not making the progress that they would like and would like some coaching around that? Let's pop your, go into the participants box, find the blue hand, put your blue hand up. Who's not making the progress that they would like? And I'm going to so not to panic, pick on anyone, but Nicola, are you also the Nicola that's bagging chocolates? Yes. Is that right? Yes. So there's maybe some multitasking, but Nicola, do you want to have a chat about that? Just, oh, you need to unmute yourself, my love. Something just popped up saying you're talking.
I did.
I can't hear you.
Sorry. Yeah, I've just got a mental block
sorry.
On.
No, you can. My bad. I did it again. Totally my fault. I've done this once before. I put the volume down when I was trying to be fancy and put music on. Man, I couldn't hear you. You were talking. Go for it.
Right. I've got.
I'm
a
good at other things.
Because. Pardon?
I said I'm good at other things. I'm just making a joke about my mess up.
You are. Yeah. Right. Sorry. I'm leaning over because I've got my laptop on my settee on the arm. Right. I've got a problem with money in general. And I joined this group because I thought it would get me out of the situation that I'm in. But actually, I feel guilty because I've spent the money on the course and I'm not doing the work. And there's been so many webinars and things that I've joined. And I kept thinking, I wish I could pay for that, or I wish I could pay for this, because I kept on saying to myself, well, I can't afford it. And now I'm feeling guilty because I've spent the money on this, but I've really wasted it because I haven't done the work.
Okay.
So I need to get on with it.
So... one, let's quickly reframe that I've wasted it, because you haven't. You've still got the learnings. You went through the process. There will have been shifts. And that isn't wasted money. It's just you haven't capitalized on it yet. Okay. So just let's take off the, and I do that so we don't do the kind of self-flagellating around it. So then tell me what have you been choosing to do instead?
Well, I'm trying to do three businesses. Well, I've got the chocolates, obviously, and I work with Essence and Viva MK. You've probably never heard of either of them.
Are they multi-level marketing businesses?
Yeah. And one of them's a catalogue company. So I've been, you know, giving out the catalogues and collecting them in. But a lot of people actually aren't even looking at them. So I think they're probably scared of the virus. And then the other one's more online. But I've wasted a lot of time as well. And I'm also a hoarder. And so that worries me, because I've got stuff everywhere and I've got a lot of money in this house that I'm not using, because I've got lots of stuff I could sell to make money to actually pay off some of my debts. But I've chosen not to do that because it's so overwhelming. I keep looking around and thinking, oh, where do I start?
Mm.
So I've just got a few issues at the moment.
So what
and
I'm...
basically I've wasted a lot of time.
So what I'm hearing is avoidance.
Yeah.
And avoidance of tackling the bigger things that possibly there's some fear around, anxiety around. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, probably.
What do you think? If you think about sitting down, right, like immediately after this call, putting the chocolates to one side and sitting down and spending a few hours on this content, on the wealth and the money stuff, what comes up for you?
I could do that tomorrow, but today, after I've got this chocolate bagged up, I've got to go to an industrial park where I gave out catalogues 2 days ago, and I'm picking them up, and someone's already left me a message to say she's left me the order and the money because she's had to leave the office. So I've got to go and collect those catalogues.
Okay, so let's move that.
I'll collect them on Wednesday. So those
are your to-do things. Let's think about, say, tonight, okay? Taking off the night. It's like, let's say you didn't have a commitment, like an appointment that you had to go to, and instead of doing the other things, sitting down and spending a few hours on the money stuff, what immediately comes to, like, what do you feel or what springs to mind in your thought process?
I don't know. I can't say I've got a problem with money. Well, I have got a problem with money. I don't seem to be able to keep it. But I don't know. It's just the thought of going through everything. And I've been writing lots of notes. I mean, I've done loads of webinars throughout lockdown and everything since March. I've been on lots of webinars and trainings and things like that. And I keep writing notes all the time, but then I don't act on what I've written down.
Yeah. What you don't need is more information.
No. Okay.
You don't need more. That's not the issue. Information isn't the problem. So let's put a halt on all further webinars and training, because that what that is it's another distraction. Because actually, you have, certainly when it comes to the money piece, given what we covered in Be Wealth and the 10-week wealth turnaround, you have everything that you need to be able to completely shift your financial situation.
So I did do the income and outgoings yesterday because I was doing it with the debt advisor.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd left that, you know, I'd kept on putting it off, and I'd put it off for weeks. So yeah. I finally done that. I've already previously had the little pots with, you know, to separate the money, but I've actually used the money out of all the pots. So that's not a very good idea.
Yeah.
So I'm just in a bit of a state of them.
So I think it feels like what I'm hearing is you're juggling a lot, and it's tipping you somewhat into a bit of overwhelm around it. So then the thought of addressing the money piece is one thing too many. And also on top of that, if we dig down deeply, you've got some limiting beliefs around it and fears. That's actually the thing that's holding, that's stopping you from taking the action, really, is whatever comes up for you when you think about doing it and you go, oh, no, I'm not. And you may not even be very consciously aware of it, but I'm going to encourage you to track this and be very, pay attention very specifically to what comes up for you when you think about, right, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to attend to the money, because it's what's going on in here that is the starting point of you struggling to really do the work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And on top of that, what I'm going to encourage you to do is every day, first thing you do in your day before you do anything else, is you set aside, let's start off with half an hour to bit by bit work through. Let's actually do it longer, because I'd like, have you been watching any of the videos, the 10-week wealth turnaround videos?
No.
Okay. So let's do an hour each morning. You're going to prioritize your time and set aside an hour each morning where you watch a video and then do some work. So it's between half an hour, so like one day you'll need to do an hour so you have some time afterwards to watch a video, and then the rest of the week it just can be half an hour, which is not much. And the key thing is you do this before you do anything else, because otherwise, unless you put this first, what I'm hearing is everything else is going to take a priority, and this is never going to get done. So right. It's just little bit by
so
bit
consistently. So where will I find it? In the Be Wealth group? In the One of Many group?
So basically, you are going to go to oneofmany.co.uk. You're going to go into your members area. So you'll have, as somebody who's attended Be Wealth, you have your members account. And oh, Tamsin's just put the link in because she's just found it. And thanks. You will go to programs, Be Wealth, and then you'll go into the 10-week wealth turnaround.
Right, okay.
So how do you feel about committing to doing, how do you feel to committing to, we're going to keep it to, I expanded it to an hour, but I'm going to keep it to half an hour. How do you feel about committing to half an hour every morning, first thing before you do anything else, tending to money stuff?
Yeah, I can do that. An hour is a bit much.
Okay, half an hour.
I'm not used to doing it at all.
Yeah. Let's do half an hour every day, and it doesn't matter what else happens. Have you got a wealth buddy?
No.
So I'd encourage you to find somebody. I know there's maybe Sal was saying you're my twin. So I don't know if you want to buddy up with Salwa just to do a check-in with each other. You know, you just do a quick WhatsApp message saying, yep, I've done my half an hour morning.
I'm not on WhatsApp.
Okay.
I'm not on WhatsApp.
You've got a phone, right?
Yeah.
So you can send each other a text message. Sal was nodding her head and she's up for it.
I've got so many pens in this house and a lot of them don't work.
So Sal, if you don't mind, if you feel comfortable doing this, put your number into the chat channel. And then Nicola, if you also put your number into the chat channel, that where you've got it. And I will leave you two to keep each other to a daily half an hour money meditation, we'll call it.
Right, okay.
And then meanwhile, wonderful, you've both done that, great. And meanwhile, have this level of awareness, understand that all the part of you that wants to jump on another webinar, the part of you that's going, oh, but I've just got this to do, it's like those are distractions. And that's actually a part of you going, oh, I'm going to distract her because I really don't want to deal with a thing that I'm afraid of. So
right.
What helps is doing these little bits. It's like, oh, okay, this isn't so scary. I can do it, and doing it consistently. And also be aware of it, like dig a little, be curious and dig a little deeper when you feel it coming up and going, okay, what am I actually feeling about this? Oh, I'm feeling some anxiety actually. So what's that about? And I don't know. I have a look, and what I don't know is what you have access to in your members area. But if you do have access to any of our release processes, then I'd really encourage you to do that. Are you on Living the Change by any chance, Nicola?
No, I'm only doing this.
Okay, right. We've got, as part of Be Wealth, you've got the money meditation, don't we? And do you also, just remind, because I haven't looked at it in about 3-4 weeks, do you also have a release process in your Be Wealth area? Can anyone just let me know? I can open it up. Yeah, there's a thumb from Beverly. Great. So I want you to get to know this part that's actually feeling so afraid, or if you've got some limiting beliefs pop up, and get to the nub of it, and then do a release process on it and do the money meditation. Okay, so there's three things. Okay. You're going to be doing your daily 30 minutes and checking in with Salwa. Is it Salva or Salwa? Great. Salwa, daily. You're going to be paying attention to your thoughts and feelings when you think about, like, when you start resisting or distracting yourself from doing the money work and digging into what's going on underneath. And then you're going to do a release process on it from the members area. And then back that up with a wealth meditation.
Right.
And then next time you're gonna come and join us in 2 weeks' time, and you're gonna tell us about the progress that you've made.
Okay.
You've got this. You can do it.
Putting her thumb up.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Anne believes in you, and as do we.
Thank well you. Done. I'm glad someone does.
Yeah. All right there, lovely. Let us know how you go.
Thank you. Thanks.
So Anne is saying the release is brilliant, had so much insight. Yeah, so there should be that recording. Can also, you can do that for yourself when you see other stuff coming up. Linda, let's come to you, my love.
Hi. I'm sort of plodding along a bit, but I did my money popped on paper. But what I'm struggling with is actually figuring out how to do it in practice. Obviously, I don't want to have physical pots of money lying about, but the whole Starling thing, I'm just so rubbish with technology that, and I don't have any banking apps on my phone or anything like that. So I guess I'm just a bit scared of setting up a Starling account. And
what bank do you currently use, Linda?
A Nationwide.
Okay, so I don't know about Nationwide, but I use Barclays. Mm-hmm. And what you may be able to do through your Nationwide account is open up a number of different accounts. That's what I did with Barclays back in the day.
I opened up different extra accounts for the children for their grow pots. Mm-hmm. Or savings pots, whatever. So that they can put a portion of their pocket money in, or I can put it in for them. Mm-hmm. Every month. But I didn't know whether it just to open multiple. It just kind of seems messy to have a whole heap of different accounts rather than have it all under. I guess I just didn't really understand how the whole, like, I understand how you allocate the mm-hmm. money on paper, but how it works with, say, if I went to a cafe or something and was paying for a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that actually works with the
Okay, well, it's for that sort of stuff, it's actually really simple. So there's two ways you can choose to do it. You can actually have, well, three ways. You could do the physical pots and jars, but we live in a world that that's a bit tricky, particularly now. Places, some places are not even accepting physical currency because of Corona. So then the other two options are either you create separate accounts in your with your bank, mm-hmm. where the money actually gets moved into different accounts. Or you can do something like the Starling approach, and maybe is it Monzo as well, where you don't actually have separate accounts, but how it's presented, you can move the money around and allocate it to the different jars, even though it's coming out of one pot.
Yeah.
Now, I think my recommendation is you do whichever feels easiest for you to do and get your head around.
Okay. I mean, my finances aren't that complicated. I have one debit card, one credit card, and that's it. And I've sort of gone through the statements over the last, it was a mammoth task. I had receipts and everything all in Ziploc bags. And I'd been keeping my receipts for like the last year anyway, just to try and get a handle on, you know, where the money goes, what I spend on, how much it costs to run the house for a month and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I've, over the course of the last sort of month or so, been going through all of that. So it really is only two statements a month that I'm going through and ticking off once I've allocated those funds to one of the pots. Where I came a cropper was when I worked out the percentages each month of how much I'd put into each pot and then added it up. It didn't add up to 100. So it's like somehow or other there's money's disappeared. But I don't know where it's gone because, and so then I sort of lost a bit of confidence with my maths. And I'm normally quite good with mathematical things, just trying to figure out. And I don't know if it's because my pay month goes, I've done it on calendar months because I thought that would be the easiest thing. But then obviously I don't get paid on the first of the month. So I've still, I don't know, I've messed it up somewhere I've messed it up and I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
I mean, it could just be I've done a typo on the calculator, but trying to figure out why it doesn't add up to 100% when I add up all the percentages.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why that would be the case. So, yeah, do it from the point that you get paid, not from the start of the calendar month, because then you are having to do some mental arithmetics and gymnastics that certainly is beyond me. That would confuse me. So do it as of whatever date you get paid.
Yeah.
You do the percentages, the money goes out into the different pots. And I mean, the reason, I mean, I just, because it was before Starling Bank came out, I literally created, and I started doing this about, I don't know, 10 years ago was the first time I did this. I did create separate accounts so that I've got an app and I open up my app and I literally have a list of the different, and I cannot, so I've got my central account, which is my my lifestyle account that's got the biggest amount in it. And that's what I use with my debit card to go out and pay for the coffee and no. So there's no worry about that. Then the other pots, I don't have the debit card attached to that. So I'm not gonna be spending out of that. If I need to ever move money around, so for example, out of necessities, that's what I meant, necessities jar. Uh-huh. The fun pot is the lifestyle one. So the necessities jar, that big one, that's my debit card's attached to that one. So I spend from that.
Yeah.
And then say I go, oh, I want to bust up my fun jar. Then I will move the money from my fun jar into my central account and then pay for it. Okay. So there's never the possibility of me overspending because it's all in one pot. Now, I'm saying that not knowing fully how, because I don't use Starling, how Starling prevents that from happening. I think maybe it's Ali looks like she knows. I mean, does it have a pop-up notification saying you've not got enough in that jar? I'm not really sure. Is that what happens? Do you want to unmute and just share, Ali? Is that all right? Just putting you on the spot. Yeah.
Sorry, for the, I get a little text message telling me I need to, there's a debit about to come out and I need to top it up. And it's always in good time. Most of the banks give you until about 2 p.m. now. So even if it's on the same day, you've got until 2 p.m. to make sure you've
moved. And what about if you're going out and spending, you're like, right, I want to buy this jacket.
Yeah, so I just, on my Monzo account, you have to have the money in the card part of the account. So, hold on. Don't particularly care if people see. Hold on.
Thank you for this. I think it's helpful.
That's okay. So mine looks, so it looks like, I don't know if you can see, but
it's not mine.
It's got different parts, but when you pay for stuff, it only comes from that part. That part. So all I have to do is, if it's a birthday or a Christmas present, I go into my birthday or Christmas present pot, and I don't actually need to, but they won't need to. You just withdraw the money, and it instantly transfers it to the card. So literally, whilst I'm in the queue in a shop, I can just make, I know this is going to cost £50. So I just move it from the pot into the main bit, and it's there by the time I hit the card on the till.
Great.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
You will need to do is get comfortable with having one banking app on your phone that you use.
Yeah.
You know, whether it is your actual bank, like a Nationwide, I would recommend you having the Nationwide on there anyway, or whether if you move to something like Monzo or Starling Bank, that you get comfortable using that. So you've got that one place where all the accounts are listed out, all pots are listed out, so that you can be on top of it, check it regularly, move money if you need to.
So then when you, so for example, I'm buying something from Amazon online, does it come out of the main account and then you've got to transfer it from the whatever pot into your main account?
Well, yes. And the only thing, the only two things that you would be doing that for are the up to the cap of the fund jar.
Yeah.
So the monthly, I'm going to bust that out. And then long-term spending. If it's you're buying something like you're having to replace your Nespresso machine, because it's really important for some people, that would come out of your long-term savings, possibly, if it's really nice and they're quite fancy, aren't they? And then the rest of it is coming out of your necessities anyway. Right, if it's an Amazon thing, you're buying, you're buying, you've got to get so new like
yesterday I ordered a fire pit for the garden, because I thought once lockdown's finished it's better to entertain outside, but it's so cold, so I've ordered a fire pit and some wood logs so that I can sit in the garden.
Which
so I would take that out of savings, because it's not really a household bill. It's like a luxury.
Exactly. And then you'd be mindful about how many things you're pulling out of savings,
right?
Because the idea is that shouldn't just be...
The other thing is that because my pay varies from month to month, because I get paid hourly, and there's different... I do shift work as well, so, and sometimes I do overtime, so it varies. It's, whether it's a 4-week pay period or a 5-week pay period and things like that, so it's always different.
I'm the same, so then it's a little bit more work, because it means you can't just set things up automatically.
Because I was thinking of setting up set amounts, and then if I earn over a certain amount per month, if I know what the minimum roughly would be per month and based on that, and then any extra I can choose what pot to put it in, maybe.
No, that sounds like cheating. No, it should be across the full amount of your income.
Okay.
So what you can do, I was nodding my head because I thought what you're going to say is you set the minimum amounts.
Yeah.
And then if you earn more, then with the amount you earn more, then you manually do the allocation. But you still need to allocate that, because otherwise if you go, oh, great, I've earned £1,000 more, I'm going to put that in the fund jar. No.
Damn it.
Sorry. So are you clearer now?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Joanna. Hello. Do you want to unmute yourself? You got your hand up?
Sorry. I'm always really slow to do the unmuting bit. I have a
question about I'm separated from my husband, and we both contribute the same amount into a joint account for covering children's costs. So, you know, school trips and uniforms and school lunches and activities that they do and stuff. So that's fine. That's all taken care of. And then, so I was sort of thinking about the lifestyle jar. So obviously it's like my lifestyle, but then there's kind of family lifestyle and, you know, things to do with the kids. And they also have pocket money, so they have some money to...
Joanna, you're cutting up just a little bit. So what I'm going to invite you to do is actually turn your video off and carry on talking. So I think that might help with your internet. Sure.
Hopefully that's better now.
A lot better.
Yeah, good. So they get £5 a week pocket money each, and they can blow that on whatever they like. There's no restrictions. But they also, you know, but then but I don't know then how do we cover things like, you know, if we have a day out somewhere or they want to go and do an activity that's, you know, sort of quite expensive, because if it's time when they're just with me, that would be coming out of my money rather than out of that joint account. And so I'm not sure whether to have a lifestyle fund that's like for the three of us together.
Do you mean necessity when you say lifestyle, like the 55%?
No, I mean like the stuff.
The fun stuff.
Yeah, because so I'm buying them groceries and things like that, then that would definitely come out of the housekeeping or the necessities. Yeah. If we decided, oh, let's go to the cinema on Saturday afternoon, if I take that out of the lifestyle jar, the fun pot, then I've got considerably less than, like, for me.
I would call that the necessity stuff. You know, you doing things like going to the cinema with the kids and so forth, that's part of you. I would say, I mean, again, this is where there can be some gray area, but I would say that comes out of your necessities. That's doing things that are, you know, it's not you splurging on something really extravagant. If you were saying buying them one of these fancy electric scooters or something, like a one-off special purchase, then that might come from long-term savings. You might choose to spend that from savings. But yeah. I think going to the cinema with them and doing things which are actually, you know, part of you living, I would say should come out of the 55%.
Okay. Yeah. So I think, you know, I've been going through all of the real expenses and looking carefully at what's coming in. And the housekeeping fund is rather large, and I've learned so much over the last couple of weeks in terms of actually facing up to the reality rather than pretending, oh, it's all fine, and, you know, I can afford to do this, that and the other, and it's like, oh, actually I really can't. And I think the hard and fast things like council tax and, you know, the gym membership and things like that is kind of easy, but it's where there's that decision making point and where there are other people involved, because it's much easier when it's only yourself. Mm. And there's so much sibling rivalry between us. I didn't want to I wanted to avoid introducing like, well, you know, we've got this much that we can spend on having fun, because I just think there'd be fights breaking out. So I kind of feel like I need to be in control of that. Mm. But kind of really torn between, but is it fun stuff or is it, you know, but I think, yeah, maybe look at it.
Kind of trust yourself where you draw the line. If it's, you know, if it's a sort of thing where it's part of your normal living, then I would say that should come out of the necessities. It's like, no, we're going to go away to Disneyland. In a world that we might be able to do that. Okay, that is long-term savings, right? Yeah. But I've got the kids now, it's my weekend to have the kids, or my week to have the kids, and we're going out for ice creams and going to the movies. I would put that in the 55% necessities.
Okay.
And then that's your fun jar, remember, it's supposed to really be for you, to bust up on you.
Yeah, and that's, I think that was the difficulty I had, was like, well, if it's fun stuff, but not just for me, then is that still the same pot?
Well, exactly. You know, be careful of overexpressed mother coming in and then sacrificing your fun jar.
Yeah.
So that fun jar is supposed to be for you. Yeah. I mean, you might choose if listen, you know, these are all suggestions, right? No one's saying there's an absolute hard and fast rule here. But let's just say money 1 month is a bit tight and you really want to be able to treat your kids or one of the kids for something. And you may go, actually, I am going to pull it out, part of it out of my fun jar. And that actually will be fun for me to be able to do that. But just don't make that a habit.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that clearer for you now?
Yeah, that really is. And of course, now I've done the exercise, the fun jar is disappointingly small. I don't know if anyone else has found that.
Well, it's if you're doing it, it's 5%.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know if anyone else has kind of been a bit shocked. It's like, gosh, you know, that's like, it's probably one item of clothing, a meal out with a friend, and I don't know, it might be like, you know, something else. So yeah, it's kind of made me really look at how I spend on myself.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't say I'm an indulgent person. I'm not into designer things. I don't have lots of shoes and clothes and whatever. But you know, it really quickly adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's great to do these jars and have that self awareness of like, ooh, actually, I have a bit of a tendency to splurge on myself. But you know, when it comes like Linda saying, clothing isn't is necessity, not fun. It kind of depends. It really depends. This is where you know, I think Joe was talking about it. If you're runners, like you like to go running and your running shoes are worn through, you need to get new runners. That's a necessity. If you decide to buy a pair of Louboutin heels, that's fun, right? Yeah. It's not a necessity. But I might buy myself, for example, I might buy some tops, like nicer tops, to be able to do all the virtual delivery that I'm doing. Funny enough, I'm not buying so many trousers anymore. Then I see that as part of necessity. But if it's me going, oh, I would just love to have that leather bomber jacket. I don't need another blooming leather bomber or coat or anything. You know how she talks about we talk about accountability. That's where you have to be accountable to yourself and be really honest.
Yeah.
What is, you know, if I'm doing that, I think I would say going out and having a meal with a friend, I might be minded to have that coming out of my necessity. It's part of my general living. But if it's like, oh, let's go out to that Michelin star restaurant and treat ourselves to the finest wine and all the things, well, that's a fun and a splurge.
Yeah. And maybe I'm being a bit harsh on myself.
Yeah, maybe you are.
Not allowing enough to be counted out of the housekeeping.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, there's, you know, it's like, because there's no hard and fast rule, but it's that I get a sense of, if it's in the normal course of you living your life in what for you is an ordinary way without being excessive, we should be able to go out and, you know, I don't know, go to Nando's and have a meal with a friend, or go to the local restaurant, you know. But if it's getting out of hand, then no. So the odd thing, that's my opinion. Joe might have a slightly different opinion. But again, it's that distinction between let's go grab a bite so we can catch up or have a coffee versus let's go grab some cocktails and, you know.
Yeah, and again, it's because it's actually really, really important to spend time with friends, especially when you're on your own.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, obviously the restrictions keep changing, but sometimes it's easier to be doing that elsewhere rather than having somebody into your home.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So are you feeling clearer now?
Yes, really helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. So Tamsin, you had a question in here about your investment income and where to put that. Do you want to just open the line and we can have a quick chat about that?
I think whilst you were going through that with Joanna, things became a little bit clearer for me as well, in that I have different sources of income and there's money that's generated by some investments and things. which is basically in those pots and you can choose whether to reinvent it and all that kind of thing. I think I just need to discount that from my monthly jam jars, do the jam jars based on our core income expenditure and all the rest. And then maybe twice a year or something, look at what's in the investments and think about what stays in there and gets reinvested and whether we allocate some of that into other stuff, I think.
Yeah, I think basically when it comes to the income piece from investments where your money's growing more money, absolutely, that you have, it's like, is this money that's being generated to be reinvested to grow more money? Or is it income? From the point that you choose that it's income, then technically you should be splitting that across the jam jars.
Yeah.
Even though it's coming from your investments.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't need to be factored in like that. I think I'm overcomplicating it. And I think that maybe, like, for example, I got this banking software, Buxfer, I think it is, that you can, it links all your accounts and stuff like that. But it is quite overwhelming because everything's going through there. And actually it would be helpful to maybe take some of those bigger things out so that I'm not seeing them, because they're not part of the...
So the principle is anything that you choose to deem to be income that's not going to be reinvested should be split according to the jam jar principle. Now, what I'm hearing you say is maybe you don't need to be doing that every month on the investment income. You might, because you have enough income coming in from other sources that can cover your necessities and so forth, you have the luxury of perhaps being able to look at it once every 3 months and going, okay, so what are we going to do maybe collectively with your family, partner, whatever? What are we going to do with this money that's being generated by the money? And at that point, you can then either reinvest or go, okay, now let's split this. Even though it's come over a period of 3 months, you can just do that in one piece rather than feeling like you have to continually be splitting that income. Does that make
sense? Yeah, it's a funny one, because seeing the investment stuff more come up more often is good, because it means I've been paying more attention to that, which is helpful. But it is stopping me from sorting out the rest. So I think if I take it out the equation, deal with the daily, I can then decide whether I want to add that back in, can't I?
Yeah.
As a sort of monthly review.
Just the key thing, and this is where we can catch ourselves out, is do make sure that if it's not reinvested, that you don't cheat the system and not allocate it according to the pots. Because it's still any income, whatever the source, once we deem it to be income, should be split across the pots. Technically, right?
Yeah, that's quite exciting though, because like I think the tendency is to just keep squirreling it, thinking that it's to be used for big things, whereas it'd be quite nice to have some more in the fun pot.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Lovely. Thanks. Who's next? Go into the participants box, pop up the blue hand. Okay, so I'm going to pick to check in with, that's perfect. You literally read my mind. I was like, let's check in with Nadine. And she puts her hand up. Unmute yourself, my love.
Hi. I'm only joining quickly because I've got a meeting at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
I've got to go. But just to thank you for last week. As you know, I sort of tried to get on it straight away after the... after the coaching session, and Naomi, who had originally contacted me about being an accountability buddy, kindly got in touch with me, and I dedicated that time, and I did exactly what I said I was going to be doing. What I actually did, I'd only sort of set aside an hour, and I ended up spending about 5 hours.
Wow.
Which annoyed me a little bit, because I kind of felt like my day just went. I mean, with it being a weekend day, I was a bit like, you know, and I'd already got plans in the evening, so I had to stop. But it did sort of throw up a few things that hadn't really cropped up before when I was dealing with module one, which was the you know, how I feel about money and the what do you call it? What's the word? Where you list them all and put them in order, and values, my values. So my so when I was doing that, I hadn't really realized it before, but there was one point when I was thinking about sort of making my mum and my sister kind of proud of me for doing okay financially, because they're both, my mum's Northern, so she's really frugal and always has been. So she'll sort of check her every single receipt against her credit card bill and things like that. So she's always been really good at measuring things, because she's never had that much money. My sister is much better off, but she's very savvy with her money. So I've always felt like I'm a bit of a failure, really, in terms of I'm always the one that needs to borrow money, or, and I always pay it back, but it's just the fact that I just fritch it away and go on holidays and things, and don't really look after it very well. But I hadn't realised that was such a big thing to me, but I got really, really upset when I was kind of thinking about it. So I was obviously sort of thinking, hang on, there's a bit more going on here than I first realised. Mm. So I kind of did that limiting belief.
Great, you did a release process on it.
That's not something that I find very easy to do, I must admit, the kind of meditation bits that just, I'm open to trying it, and I'm sure with more practice it will get easier. But yeah, I don't know.
How did you feel after? Did you feel there was a shift, or?
I think just acknowledging that those feelings were there, and perhaps the underlying reasons for that, was better. I don't know if there was a shift so much as a just a realization that was underlying a lot of feelings. So I kind of felt better for doing that, and now it's there in my head. I'm sort of thinking about it a bit more and being a bit more realistic about things, because they don't think I'm a failure. They don't, you know, they don't think that at all. So I don't know sort of where that's come from. That's me.
Yeah, well, we do the things, we take on these beliefs when we're young for reasons that we don't always fully understand. But the key thing now that you have awareness is you can choose to what extent you allow that old belief to have hold on you and dictate what you're doing now. And you know, when it comes to these release processes, what can really help is to do them at a point where we're genuinely connected with whatever that feeling is. I've done this before, yeah,
I did on that Saturday.
So you were really connected to it, were you?
Because I'd been so emotional while I was doing it, and I wasn't hormonal particularly. So I just thought, well, there must be something more to it, because, you know, I can get teary about the most ridiculous things at certain times of the month, but that particular time I was like, well, this must be coming from somewhere else, because that can't explain it on this occasion. Which is why I wanted to do that release meditation sort of straight away.
And trust that it will have shifted things you may not necessarily be aware of. And the fact that you have more agency now and you're able to spot it and go, actually, that's not true. And ask yourself, it's like, no, that isn't true. I'm going to choose a different belief and go with that. So that's wonderful. Well done. And so now moving forward, obviously you did a big, what have you got in place to make sure that this is something that you're tending to regularly?
Well, last Sunday as well, I also, I penciled in time for 11 o'clock. Unfortunately, because I wasn't feeling very well, I ended up sleeping till nearly 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But when I got up and I did a little bit on the Sunday evening, and then sort of the weekday evening since then, I went back, because I've got a diary obviously that I'm keeping this in, and making a note of, I'd done my budget planner, my wealth planner, and filled that in, sort of backdated from January, but I hadn't done October and November's expenses. So I did that. I also watched the video from module 2 for the accountability, and I hadn't done a list of my debt. As it is, I've only got my mortgage and a loan that for my mom, because I didn't want to get a car loan and have to pay interest on it. So I said, Mom, can you lend me this money and I'll pay it back to you interest free for 3 years. So that's what we're doing. Right. So yeah, I just thought if you don't ask, you don't care. And she kindly.
Well done. Well, that's creative thinking, isn't it?
That. So, you know, that I don't have a lot of debt compared to a lot of my friends. They're just swimming in it, and I feel good about the fact that I'm not.
And how does it feel now to be a bit more on top of all of these things, to have done that work?
I was going to say to Nicola, it is so overwhelming to just get started, but once you've just taken that first step, you are just motivated to just keep working at it. And if you can do that of penciling it in for a certain time every week, then you know, without even thinking about it, if somebody says, oh, can you do this or whatever, you just think, well, no. You know, maybe I could do that, but then I'm going to rearrange the slot because it's always in my head that, you know, Sunday morning, that's what I...
Well done. That's a great shift. You know, you should really be proud of yourself. Don't be thinking, oh, I haven't done as much. I hope you've done. It's brilliant. You're on track. And now you just keep it going. And the easier thing to do is then keep up with this momentum. Now you've got it in place. It's like, just keep doing that little bit every week. And it then becomes part of who you are. So, yeah, bravo. Really proud of you.
My task for this week then is to go back to my Monzo app. I have it on my phone, but I never actually finished registering for it for some reason. I think I had to do something like a video for them or something, and it didn't work on my phone. Wow. So they contacted me and said it was a glitch and it's been fixed. I never went back and did it. So, but good.
So that's your task.
I do like the look of that. That app. So
great.
I'll do that this week.
Look forward to. Wonderful. Well done. Great. There you go. Following through. And you can, you know, that's the thing. Just once you get started, you keep up the momentum, it becomes so much easier. And then you can feel great, like Nadine is. So who else? Who else can I help today? Any blue hands? Ooh. Let's see what's been going on here.
I cannot see any blue hand, but is it okay? Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Anastasia.
Hi, Anastasia. Yeah, so there was a disembodied voice coming out, and I was like, ooh, who is this?
Sorry, I did check for the blue hand, but I cannot see any. So.
No, don't worry, that's all good. How can I help you, my love?
I kind of did a lot of education part on investing things, and I booked a free 15-minute consultation with Nikki Ramskill to kind of discuss the beginner's investment thing. And I've been checking like different ones, like a property one or active trading and things like that, and all of them kind of trying to understand whether I can, which one is closer to me to understand what type of investor I am, and both of them have like difficulties. But I think my focus was in the wrong place in a way. I started jumping into investment task because I do have a kind of a bit of a savings and I have a job. But then when listening to all of the advice on investments, they were saying like, okay, so in your savings, you should leave at least 3-6 months that you're not taking it as your rainy day fund. So then when I did that, the sum that I was thinking that I have for investing obviously is much smaller. But then I realized that it's probably not really investment that I should be focusing on, but rather on the income, because I don't like my job. I think it's like really draining me. Mm-hmm. Every time I'm trying to focus on investment or doing something, I want to read more about this. I want to focus on this. I want to do my coaching course because I'm studying coaching certification as well. It's one of many. Mm-hmm. And it's like every time I need to go back to work because they pull me, oh, you need to do this, this and that. And it was like, oh, it's so really demotivating. I don't really want to do that. But at the same time, I understand that this coaching certification is ongoing process that will be until the mid of next year. So I'm kind of.
So what, tell me something, what wealth level are you at?
Well, I thought that I'm at stability. Mm-hmm. I think, what is it, stability or security when you have rainy day fund, but you're still covering your expenses and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's security, right?
Yeah, so that's currently where you're at. And so you think as yes. as in that's what, okay, great. So at this point, you will have a certain amount, which is now lower than what you thought it was.
Well, if I'm kind of thinking to go with the program and start investing a bit or doing something like that, then obviously, yes, if you're putting specifically a rainy day fund for 6 months, a bit of a control freak, 3 months, I don't think will be enough. So 6 months, yeah. Then there is a bit of a sum left to start with the investing. But whatever I will start doing it, obviously, it's not going to be enough to supplement my income so I can focus on my studies and building, yeah. I don't know, coaching practice or something like that.
Here's the thing. You have time, as in you have, like, there's no huge rush, but you also, on a day-to-day basis, you have limited time. And what I'm hearing you say is right now, to be able to do the kind of investing that you would like, you'd have to actually really start dedicating time to learn about it. You have a day job and you're doing coaching certification, and that might be one thing too many. So what would it be like, because there's many ways to invest, what would it be like for you to perhaps, because it is a smaller pot, it's a good thing that you've allocated your rainy day fund. What would it be like to find a more passive form of investment that you can put that money into now? So you're still getting the money working, but you're not actually having to do a lot of the heavy lifting around it.
Mm. Okay.
So what I'm thinking here is something along the lines of, given that it is a smaller pot and you'll probably be limited in terms of what you could do anyway, putting it into a low cost index tracker.
Mm-hmm.
So you're making the money work. It's growing more money, but it's not requiring you to have to learn about property investing or Forex trading or, you know, whatever it is that you would need to do to actually, you know, be more involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in terms of, because I was actually thinking, as the prospect of creating a, obviously, coaching practice is like next year, definitely like mid next year or something. And because the job is really demotivating, and I was thinking, what is, maybe I should find a new job, or whether to stick with this one, because I already kind of know how to manage this one and stick with it until, like, for the whatever next 6 months, while on the side, kind of trying to build the practice. But it's so, I don't know, demotivating and draining that I don't have energy left to actually focus on on other stuff. So that's kind of
So this is very much, are you coming to Be Fulfilled? You've done Be Fulfilled.
No, I'm doing coaching training.
Okay, right. So I just wanted to check, because this is very much a Be Fulfilled type question. What I would say is, ultimately, if you feel, what I'm hearing you say is your current job is draining and demotivating and not even leaving you with the energy to be able to invest your time into building up your coaching practice, right?
Yeah, so, definitely. And it's not that well paid either. So,
I mean, it sounds like you've kind of answered your own question. In the things, you don't have to do anything, but nothing is stopping you from going out and looking for other jobs now to see if there's something that would maybe even pay you more than what you're currently earning, and certainly be something that you enjoy more, that feels less draining.
Okay. I'm thinking that I will caught up with the new job, because the new job is always like all of your attention should be there to get everything. And then I will put my practice on the back burner as well. So it's...
Well, it depends on what the job is, doesn't it? If it's something that's already within your skill set.
Okay.
And I'm not saying you should change careers at this point.
No, because I know
that's what the coaching is.
Coaching, yeah.
but if you're doing something that's within your skill set, then... Yes, of course, there's time to develop, but no one's saying that because it's a new job, you have to devote all your time to that. Be mindful of Superwoman coming in and making you over-dedicate yourself to something just because it's new. And I can hear that doing things to good standard and so forth is important to you.
Mm.
But there is no reason why, if you take on a new job, that it would necessarily eat up all of the outside time. But then that's something you put into... Basically, what you want to do is... I would recommend you make a list of what's important to you in the role and what's important to you generally. And you just have that as a decision-making matrix. So I'm looking for a job that would allow me to, you know, basically use my current existing skill set and experience. It's not going to be like a massive change for me, that would pay me more money and still allow me the time outside of office hours to work on my coaching practice. So it's kind of
okay.
I know,
the dream job.
and put it out there. Use your sorceress to put that out there and see what comes up. Because what we can do basically is we get ourselves into a bit of a pickle going through the decision-making process, but not actually taking action because we're like, oh, maybe I should get a new job. Oh, but if I get a new job, I won't have time for my coaching practice, so I'm not going to do that. Oh, but then my current job doesn't give me enough energy to work on my coaching practice, so maybe I should get a new job. But da-da-da. Do you see, you just basically ping around.
Vicious circle, yes, I know.
Ping around, it's like a ping ball machine. And what gets you out, this is, it's like actually getting some clarity on the parameters and taking some action on it. Just because you go out and put your CV out there and start looking for other jobs doesn't mean you need to take another job. But you you move from being in the space of hypothetical exploration and into action and seeing what's really there.
Okay.
Because otherwise we can sit there and from our limited perspective and our fears and all the rest, we'll give ourselves all the different arguments and we stop taking any, we don't actually progress.
Yeah.
So how would it feel for you to get clear on what your ideal job would be like that would allow you to meet those criteria, like not mean you have to work all the hours, something you can transition to easily because it's already within your experience, and that would be fun and more money, or at least not less money.
Well, no, that's definitely, probably it's just to look for the area that I could use my skills, but not what I'm currently doing because it's like digital media and it's a horrible industry. but yeah, just to use some of the expertise. I mean, it's transferable skills that I can move to another area.
Watch out, because there's another limiting belief that if you work in digital media, all of it is a horrible industry. We have digital media managers at one of many, and we're an organization based in soft power, you know, with these values, doing good work, making a difference.
No, I know that, but it's just, I'm working on the agency side and that kind of is something in the way campaigns set up and everything.
Okay, so then that's different. So that's not digital media, because digital media is broad, right? Mm-hmm. You could do digital media stuff, maybe not on the agency side, you do it on another side, you do it in a different industry. So you can still be using, my point is, you can still use your experience and your skill set.
Yeah.
That you currently have as a digital media expert in a role and in an industry that actually does feel fulfilling.
Yeah.
That's out there. Mm-hmm. But it requires you to be really open to those possibilities. So to not have, be mindful. This is a lesson I think for all of us, and it's been a reoccurring theme for me. It's like, be mindful of when we get into binary thinking, it's either this or that. Because it really limits the possibilities, and encourage yourself to go, well, what about using and? What if I could have this and that, rather than thinking it's got to be this or that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what are you taking away from our quick chat there?
What am I taking away? Well, I'm definitely sticking to my appointment with Nikki tomorrow to see how I can set up the low cost index tracker or something automatic things, because I think that would be her kind of area of expertise.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start looking for a new job. I'll write down the list and open myself to possibilities of having it both, not kind of limiting to that.
Yeah.
That's what I currently have.
Great.
Thank you.
We can't wait to hear more about it.
Oh, me too.
Lovely. Well done, my love.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Joanna, do you have another question?
I do. It's a completely different question to my first one. So when we did the sort of, you know, what does financial, you know, what does the future look for you? And I can't remember the exact terms that we used, but, you know, what do you want to achieve? What do you want to achieve?
Like your vision.
Yeah, my vision. So for me, one of my things was about living mortgage free and to, you know, to just not have that responsibility there anymore. And when we separated, what I really tried to do was find somewhere to live where I wouldn't have to have a mortgage, or, you know, at least a very modest mortgage. So I just didn't have that hanging over me. Mm. But to make that happen, one of the things that we had to do was to sell this buy-to-let property that we had. And last year, when I was trying to buy this place that I'm in now, we couldn't sell it. And then it turned out we couldn't sell it. Part of the reason we couldn't sell it was because there was this cladding. I don't know if people are aware of it, but anyway, there was a problem with selling the flat at the time, and I won't go into the details. So we had to take it off the market. But then the vendor of this flat that I wanted to buy, he said to me, well, I don't actually need all the money straight away, because for him, it was, he was selling it because it was his retirement fund. And so he offered me a private mortgage so that my husband gave me what he was giving me to buy me out of the family home. And then the vendor allowed me to just pay him that amount. And the solicitors were all really happy with this arrangement. There's nothing dodgy about it. And so I have, instead of going to the bank for a mortgage, I have a private mortgage with him. So it meant that I was able to move. The mortgage repayments are, you know, fairly modest, so that's not a problem, but it's time limited. And after I think it's 2 years, the interest rate will go up, and then it will go up, and then it will go up. And then I think after 5 years, like basically he could repossess the property if I haven't cleared the debt. So okay. I've got that kind of hanging over me. But at the time it's like, well, 5 years is, you know, no problem at all.
How far are you into it?
Like 5 months.
Okay.
Four months. So, you know, that, but it's there.
You have that deadline looming.
Yeah. But it's there as a thing. Also, I've been running my own company for a couple of years now, so I'm under the impression that I can't really apply for a normal mortgage until probably this summer when my third year of company accounts are done. So I've got that kind of constraint there as well. And we were able to put the flat back on the market, so I've been able to move, you know, so all of that's brilliant. We've been able to put the flat back on the market in August because it passed its safety certificates and everything. So that's all great. And, you know, second time of trying to sell it, it is just not selling. There's just not viewings. And part of me thinks, is this sorceress telling me that I should somehow keep that buy-to-let property and just think about how the borrowing and the mortgage is distributed in a more creative way so that I can have my cake and eat it. And so I kind of, I know that I need to go through that, those like calculations and options and with somebody, but I don't know what person it is that I need to help me do that.
Right. So I think from what you're describing, probably could be a really good creative mortgage broker, possibly. Another person that might be really good is if you know anybody who is very experienced in property investing. Because the only thing about the broker is they're just limited in terms of what they're used to. So, hey, this would be the holy grail, and I might have somebody that I can suggest, but I can't suggest him with full references because I haven't used him. He's basically somebody. So let me just describe. If you can find a mortgage broker who's also a property investor and an experienced property investor and therefore understands some of the more creative things you can do around property investing, but also understands the products and can support you with that, that might be a great option for you. Because you need somebody who can kind of like, I get it. It's like, you understand, I think you're right. You're at a point where if it's not selling, let's think creatively about other options. Just a bit like with Anastasia. It's like, okay, this is if this doesn't sell, we need to think in other ways. But you don't necessarily have the expertise to know how to do those kind of calculations.
Mm.
So having somebody who does would be great. So this person that I know is the mortgage broker that my best friend uses and has used for a few purchases and remortgaging and so forth. So I know that I've reached out to him to ask about my situation currently. I haven't gone forward with it because I'm not able to pull out enough money from my flat and borrow enough to get what I want. So I'm rethinking that strategy. But he is a property investor.
Okay.
So he might be a good person to have a conversation with. Yeah. And then think about other people you know who, again, have the property investing experience. And having a more broad property investing experience, not somebody who's just got one, like all they do is developments.
Mm-hmm.
They buy and flip, you know, buy and sell properties. Somebody who's maybe done a few different types of property deals because they'll have more experience with the different financing options.
Yeah.
Because there's a number of creative things that you could possibly do, but I'm not the expert, so I don't want to start suggesting things.
No, and it's comparing like long term and short term and residential and buy to let, and it's only two properties that are involved, but it's quite a complex mix. But there are the constraints of the time limit that I have, the access to, you know, high street lending and, you know, those sorts of things. So
what's your email address?
It's jcfulford.
Oh, actually, just type it into the chat box and I'll pull it off.
Okay, will do.
And I'll give you this name as an option. Again, I'm with loads of caveats. He's not coming with full references, referrals. I've used him and he's been amazing. But
no, it's to have
already in the initial conversation, he's been really good.
Yeah, it's just to have that initial conversation with somebody to, again, hone down who might be the right person to speak to. Thank you.
Great. Okay, so I'm just getting, just copy all these.
I just feel like I need to have that plan because one day I kind of think, oh gosh, if I can keep it, that'd be amazing. And then the next day I'm kind of thinking, oh gosh, yeah, I've got to remember to
get
that mortgage sorted, you know, and I just need to have a plan so that.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise you'll bounce around the pinball machine like Anastasia was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get you all out of pinball machines, everyone. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we probably have time for one more, maybe two, if they're quick. So who's got some more questions? Robert Kiyosaki, your home is not an asset. No. Although I think it isn't, it's a liability because you normally have debt. However, if you, where it can become an asset is potentially if you have like a granny flat, which you can rent out, or you're able to put it on Airbnb for certain, you know, you go out on holidays, then it's not, you know, it starts to loosen up that thinking around it being a full liability. So Wendy's also suggesting there, look at Paragon Bank for specialist mortgages. So I would recommend you speak to a few people, not just the chap I'm going to recommend to you or pass on to you. Who else? Who's going to be the final person? Potentially. We can finish early. Would you like to finish early? It's a shame. But yeah, maybe let's finish early then. If everyone feels satisfied, they've got their questions answered. Last chance saloon. Let's do the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. The UK people will understand that. Frida, you may not know what the hell I'm doing. It's a TV show called Countdown, and that's the kind of like, you're running out of time, it does that thing, and everyone's like, ah. Okay, well, let's do that. Let's, okay, Salwa's got a question. What's rent to rent? Great question. So rent to rent is basically when you rent a property from a landlord at a certain price, a set price, and then you take control of it, the management, the lettings and so forth, and you rent it out for a higher price. And this is often done if, say, a landlord, you know, you've got a house that a landlord doesn't really want to be managing, doesn't want the hassle of doing too much with it, and they want to let it out at a price for a single let, then you know what to do because you're experienced in this, and you'd say, listen, I'll take control. I'm going to give you the consistency of a long-term leasing arrangement where I basically become like an agent and I'll lease it from you for 5 years, and you know that every month you're going to be getting this amount every month, and then I'm going to take it and I'm going to rent it out to three individual people on a house of what they call house of multiple occupancy, and because you're renting it out to three different people, you get higher rent, and then you basically pocket the difference between what you have to pay the landlord and all the running costs, because don't forget they're going to be running costs that you'll be responsible for. You'll probably have to take care of, you know, any boiler that blows and all that sort of stuff. So the payment to the landlord and the running costs, once you've paid that off, you get the rest as your income. It is a labor-intensive strategy. It's a job. Yeah. So you may hear people going, oh, it's so exciting. And everyone says this in the property world. Their thing is great, right? But understand that most of these strategies take time. And it means you have to find the properties. You have to find the landlords who are willing to do this. It's a lot of legwork. You need to be able to know how to manage a property, the finances around that, and potentially taking on the liability that's involved in renting out properties. So it can be a great strategy for somebody if you want to get involved in property, but you don't necessarily have that income to buy your own properties. But it's also something that is labor intensive and not that easy to do. I mean, it is if you're willing to dedicate the time and get the experience and all the rest. So as with all of these things, yeah, there can be great upsides, but also there can be, there's an investment and there's some risks around it. Does that answer your question? Does that explain it clear enough? Great, lovely. And it's the same thing you'll hear about people taking options as a great, like buy your property with no money down. And basically you find somebody who needs to move out fast because either the house is gonna be repossessed, they need to suddenly leave country because, I don't know, Brexit's come and they've lost their visa and they need to move fast. And so you can do a deal and say, well, listen, I'll pay you a lump sum up front. What do you need to be able to get through this period? You pay them that as an advance payment on the property. And then you pay them a monthly amount, but you take control of it and you put in the agreement that at a certain date, you have the option to buy the property outright and you can set the price that you'll buy it. So in 2 years' time, I have the property to buy, I have the option to buy it in for this set price. And it means that you can potentially benefit from any uplift in the market, but you could also, you know, you want to know what you're doing because you could have the risk of the market going down. But you take control of the property as if you owned it at that point. And then if you're not able to, if you don't choose to exercise the option, you could either pass it on to somebody else, sell it on to them who could, or it could go back to the potentially to the buyer. So again, it sounds great in theory because it means you can get properties without having money. But in my experience, again, there's a lot of work. It's a full job to be out there in the market and finding these kinds of people. I was doing it for a while and, you know, putting flyers through letterboxes, having people call you up, then you have to go to the property, assess it, do a full due diligence on it to figure out if it's a good deal or not, agree something with them, blah, blah. It's depending on the area that you live in. London, they can be quite hard to find. Other areas, maybe up north, a little easier. But let's not be under any illusion that this is an easy way to be getting involved in property. It's not that it's something, I don't say that to dissuade you, but if you want to do these strategies, you need to be ready and willing to put the time in and have enough time to get the expertise, don't just walk in blind, and then have the time to actually find the deals, assess the deals, manage the property and do all of that. It's why I actually personally, I spent a lot of time in the property world, I got a lot of education around it. I didn't necessarily at that point have a pot to invest. I'd also just set up my company, so it was hard for me to get a mortgage, a bit like Joanna. So I was doing these strategies until it got to the point where I realized this is, everyone's like, oh, replace your job by getting into property. It's job. Yep. Being involved in property to that level and doing these creative strategies is a job. It may be a part-time job, but it definitely is a job. And you have to want to do that kind of work. And what I realized for myself is I don't want this job. I don't actually enjoy it. I want to be involved in property, but when I do it, I want to be able to do it in a way that it's a little bit more hands-off. Because I want to do my passion, which is coaching women, training women, doing this stuff. And my wealth mentor at the time was a little exasperated because he's thinking of the bigger picture. You know, what are you doing to build your wealth? And I was very focused on what am I doing to build my income in my passion, area of passion. I'm not saying my way is the right way, but it was a really good learning for me to recognize that following some of the property paths that people lay out and educate you in is something that's going to require time and energy investment as well as money. So that's my little spiel on property, if that's helpful for anyone. So again, not to dissuade you, and again, there can be simple ways to do property and buying a single buy to let and managing that, doing some things if it's within your area of expertise. But the creative things that for when you don't have your own funds require you to also, I was setting up a business to borrow money from other investors. And you know, for a return, I'd pay them what, 10%, use their money to be able to buy. It's a business. So you have to want to do that business. Okie dokie, my loves. So I've ended the thing on a property note. Let's finish up there. It's been absolutely delightful as always to spend this time with you. And our final call is going to be on the 9th of December. So that'll be the final time that we're coming together like this. I would encourage you to make the most of it. So make sure by that point that you've watched, if you can. I know that for some of you may be thinking, I haven't even started. But for those of you who can, get as far as you can through the 10-week wealth turnaround. Make that commitment to yourself that you know, carve out some time daily to look at this. See how far you can get in the next 2 weeks so that we can really get the most out of the last session for you. Okay? So on that note, have a wonderful rest of your day. It's looking really grey here in London. My goodness. God, you'd think it's 6 o'clock already. But I've got my big light here, which I'm hoping it helps with sad. I don't know if it does. I've got my big spotlight. Anyway, I'm rambling now. Lots of love to you. See you soon. Bye-bye. I've got their emails here.